All right, I thought I'd bring a little bit of Halloween-style music or a little bit of creepiness or whatever, because we're going to talk with author Sheldon Higdon this morning. He's in studio to tell us about his debut novel for the middle schoolers. It's called The Eerie, with two E's, Eerie Brothers and the Witches of Autumn. Good morning, Sheldon. Thanks for making the drive all the way from Pittsburgh this morning. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me in.
Was this an all-nighter? You like drive? What time did you have to leave to get here at this?
I left last night around 6 o'clock and got in about 9.
Okay. And you got relatives in the area then, still?
Yeah, I still have family and friends in the area, so I come here quite often.
Okay. So, again, you're originally from Amherst. How long were you living in Amherst as far as growing up at that?
I used to live on Axtell Street, right down the street from Marion L. Steele. I lived there, and then I moved over to the south side of town, if you will, and then until I graduated from Firelands at that point, because I was going to South Amherst because of where I lived. And then they merged with Firelands, and I graduated, and then a couple years later, I moved.
So when did this interest in writing kind of inspire you?
Oh,
this...
that started at an early age from my mom, who was a writer herself. She wrote poems, wrote songs. She would sing songs and stuff. She even had an offer at one time from Carlton Cards out in Cleveland. And so it came from her, and she I remember watching old black and white horror films on TV with her as a kid about 5 years old, and it just went from there.
So let's talk about The Eerie Brothers and the Witches of Autumn. How did this come together for you?
I actually have twins at home, and when they were born, I kind of sat there staring at them going, I wonder what kind of adventures they're going to have. And eventually I said, okay, well, it has to be kind of spooky. It has to be something scary. And then I said, oh, the Eerie Brothers. And then from there, it went from there. And I decided to make them sort of my own version of the Hardy Boys, but not quite the same.
So what's the age of the twins in the book?
12.
12, okay.
Yes.
Now, this book is geared towards 12 years old? You say middle school? What's the age?
Anywhere from 8 all the way up to adult. I mean, it has themes that adults can get into and has, you know, action and stuff. So, and that's the thing about middle grade. Middle grade doesn't mean it's only for kids.
Right.
It's for everybody.
Well,
but yes.
Harry Potter is out there.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, you know.
Exactly. If you even go back as far as Stephen King's Carrie, today that would be a YA book.
Really?
It's about a teenage girl in high school.
Sure.
You know, 17, 16-year-old girl. And so today that's what that would be. But back then, they didn't categorize it.
That was never on my high school reading list. Catcher in the Rye and things like that, The Great Gatsby. But Carrie, I would have enjoyed that. I would have actually not read just the Cliff Notes for something of that nature. So tell me a little bit about this is getting published, or it's being released, coming up in...
It's actually out now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It came out a little earlier than I knew. It was supposed to come out the 22nd, but instead, it, surprising to me, came out on the 4th. And so now it's everywhere. You can go to, you know, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million, and all sorts of stuff, Ingrid, you know.
So this is listed as a debut novel, but you've done other writings before,
yes,
right?
Yes. I have other novels that I've written that will probably never see the light of day, because you have to get your feet wet. But I have, you know, about 50 short stories I've published. I have a screenwriting award. I actually have a short screenplay in London being produced to be a film. Now, I've even dabbled with comic book writing and stuff like that. So I've always wrote. I even have my first story from third grade still to this day.
What did you get on it? What grade did you get on it?
Oh, I got an A. Because I illustrated it and everything. So, yeah, I made it good.
When you write, what's your process? Do you set time aside every day to do it? Do you find inspiration at different times? What's that process for you?
I write every day. You have to keep your muscles moving. But I don't wait for ideas to come to me. You know, if you just put the work in and sit down and start writing, then you'll get the ideas. They'll come to you. You know, you can't wait for it to happen. But I'm always thinking. I'm always getting ideas from, it could be a sentence, could be a word that just triggers something in my head. It could be something I saw. I try to write every day. Sometimes I don't, because I do have kids. You know, sometimes they get sick and stuff like that. So, majority of the time I'm writing. Even when I'm not writing, I'm writing in my head. So,
well, the kids just say, hey, Dad, we're your inspiration. So,
exactly.
You know, be inspired by us. Here we are. Let's talk a little bit more about the Eerie Brothers and the Witches of Autumn. Tell us this bit of the story, if you would.
Basically, it's about twin boys, Edgar and Horace, who without giving a whole lot of spoilers away, they have to. Their mother just passed away, so they're grieving. But they discover they're witches, of course, hence the title, and they have to travel back to 1692 Salem during the witch trials, and stop a bad witch who's also a judge during that time from getting into the present world because he wants to control everything, including Mother Nature. You know, and so if he's able to do that. Which he needs to do that by collecting these four totems, and they each one holds a seed of each season. And if he can control Mother Nature, he can control all magic and everything else, and then he'll be in our time, and the kids and everybody else won't have their future. You know, everything's done.
So kind of a mystery, a big adventure
that takes place? There's a lot of adventure, there's monsters, there's mystery, there's scary moments, there's fantastical moments. You know, it's like I said, it's sort of my version of the Hardy Boys, but mixed with some fantasy and horror.
You mentioned how you've also done screenwriting. When you're writing like a novel like this, do you sort of have a movie going on in your head as you're kind of playing out the story?
Exactly. For me, that's what it is. And it's weird because when I write, I'm the opposite of most people. Most people want to have quiet and they can sit or they go in the coffee shop. You know, me, I actually listen to music really loud into my ears, and it's usually heavy metal or a movie soundtrack because I like soundtracks and that gets you in a mood. But when I'm writing, I literally do not know I'm no longer in this world. I'm in that world. And so until my wife taps me on the shoulder or kids come in and tap me, you know, you want something. Oh.
So you're like a silent observer of what's happening in that story as you're going along.
Yeah, I'm sort of just hovering above everything, you know, riding the shoulders of the characters.
Wow, that's kind of neat for that, too. And also then you get probably inspired by the different music or whatever things you have just to keep it going, or at least it keeps you focus on this. It's called The Eerie Brothers and the Witches of Autumn. What was your path to getting it published? We've talked to different authors along the way. The publishing world has changed quite a lot. The way you can interact even with your readers has changed. I even saw they come up with book trailers. They're like little movies and things like that. Have you investigated any of all of that type of thing? Or
I have a friend who's actually making me a trailer now as we speak. It's kind of crazy because I never thought of trailers really. But he has a couple of YouTube channels, and he's, you know, he knows what he's doing. He has green screen and everything, so he's going to do a good job for me. But it's just, you just have to ride the wave and keep going and
get those rejection letters.
Well, yeah, and that's what it is. I just submit. You have to send out your work, you know. And I sent it to a few publishers, and one of them reached back, said we love it, and then. You know, would you want to, you know, offer me a contract, offer me an advance, all that stuff, and then here we are.
How many pages is this?
280.
How much editing did you have to do to get it to better? I mean, that's...
Man, I edited it probably a good 50 times before I even sent it out. And too much editing can be a bad thing. And then, of course, once they get it, they have editors, and they, you know, they take it, and then I come back and I edit what they have to offer, you know, and if I accept their edits, sometimes I don't, sometimes I do. And then it goes back a couple of times, and then it's finalized, and it goes into production, and there you go.
Wow. Again, we're talking this morning with Sheldon Higdon. He's originally from Amherst, now lives in the Pittsburgh area. We won't talk about that, considering there's a game coming up on Monday night. But you've told me a whole... Tell us that story about you have a divided family, some here, some in Pittsburgh. I like this story.
Yeah. Growing up in Amherst, I had relatives who would live over on Harris Street, and I lived on Axtell, and literally my backyard connected to my uncle's. And so he raised me as a Steelers fan early on, and so even though I liked the Browns, I was a Browns fan too, but half of my family was Steelers fans, the other half were Browns, and so if we weren't all together and some of the Browns fans in our family were elsewhere, if the Browns scored, all of a sudden the phone would ring just once, and that'd be it, and then that was their way of telling us, hey, we scored. You know, and so, of course, if the Steelers scored, well, then we had to call them back and let it ring once and let it go. I mean,
you don't have to pay the long distance bill, but still get to stick it to the winners. That too. That's hilarious. Eerie Brothers and the Witches of Autumn is out now. Any? I know it's been just a short time. Any other response from people or anything?
Oh,
like that? What's it been like for that?
It's been pretty crazy. I mean, on social media alone, I have so many people just posting pictures with them of the book. You know, and every day I'm getting these images, and I'm saving them because I'm going to post them on my website.
Wow.
But it's been really good. A lot of people are liking it, and they're I'm getting a lot of good, great feedback. So
that's one of those things you can spend your headphones listening to the music, typing this into a thing and putting it out. Then you're thinking, what's the world going to think of it?
Exactly. That's always your fear, you know, but then you have to sort of go, okay, I got to move on to the next novel. You know, I can't, this is out of my control. I controlled what I can control. Right. Now I got to move on and work on the next book.
It seems to me, though, the Erie Brothers could have more than just The Witches of Autumn.
It's the book in the spine has a one for a reason. So it's always been a cycle. Instead of a series, I call it a cycle because there's four books, and each one does have a connection to a season, hence the autumn. But the autumn in the title also references another thing, too, so there's more than one meaning.
Well, sure, there's always good to have little sort of layers within the titles and let people discover as they go along, but it looks like it's going to be a fun read for all those who want to take a look. Again, it's directed toward middle schools, but a lot of times there any young A, YA, is that?
Middle grade, really.
Middle grade? Okay.
They're preteen.
And then, of course, anybody can enjoy the book. The Erie Brothers and the Witches of Autumn, you said it's out now. If people want to get a hold of the book or you or find out what you're up to, where's a good place to get some details?
They can go to SheldonHigdon.com, or if they are looking for the book, they can go to any bookstore's website or go to your local bookstore and ask for it.
All right. A great cover here with the kids being chased by what they look like sort of semi-demonic scarecrows of sense that they are here. So again, Sheldon Higdon joining us this morning. Thanks for stopping in and traveling all the way to see some relatives and see us. We appreciate you being part of your tour this morning.
All right. Thank you for having me.